Hey, hi. Welcome, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trip Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. We would like to welcome to the show Zoe Weiner. She is a journalist, a writer who basically left her life in New York to live the digital nomad lifestyle with a program called Remote Year. Along with a group of people, she is spending 1 month in a different country throughout the entire year. She's writing about the experience at letsjustzoe.com. And it's a great story and a really interesting story. And we want to get her thoughts on everything that's happening and what she's doing right now. She is, in fact, live in Serbia as we speak. And let's welcome Zoe to the show. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. It sounds like such a crazy decision to make, Zoe. And the story behind it is also really kind of interesting. But before we jump into that, I read your story, your bio, and everything, and you were basically living out of a suitcase for a long time. Your parents traveled a lot, so you would go from friend to friend to friend. So you were used to not really staying in one place.
Absolutely. My mom always joked when I was growing up that I was her little gypsy. I would pack a bag when I was in high school at the beginning of the week, and my parents traveled for work and things like that. But I would pack a bag and sort of go from friend to friend to friend's house and only come home and replenish when I needed new clothes. And then I traveled a lot growing up, and it was always sort of seeing the world was always a really important part of my life. And then this opportunity came up, and it was pretty perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clearly you like that kind of lifestyle, you know, like moving around a lot. But this was a decision that now, you know, when you decided to do this, first of all, tell everybody where you found out about it.
I found out about it on an Instagram ad.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied. I sent my first round application from my cell phone. And then it sort of just happened from there. And now it's my life, which is kind of crazy that, you know, it's the beauty of social media and technology, but here I am.
it was a decision that you made, and then let me get this straight. You have a boyfriend, and this was a decision that you made before you consulted your boyfriend about it?
So it was something we were both in sort of unique positions with our careers, and it was something we talked about, sort of traveling, leaving New York. We're both freelancers. He's working on starting his own company, and I'm my own freelancer. And so we talked about moving, and I saw the program, and I sort of just applied, never thinking that anything would come of it.
Got it.
And then there was a difficult conversation that had to come when things started to progress and it became more real.
Right. But now, he's with you, though. He's with you, correct?
So he's with me, yes. The conversation, thankfully, went well, and he decided to apply, too, and now he's here in Serbia with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, what was the application process like? Because you said it was just a simple application that you thought was surprisingly simple, and then there were steps after that. Tell everybody how the application process worked.
After that first Instagram post, you know, it was click here to apply. And that first sort of round was your name, your job. I don't think I sent a resume, but it was sort of a job description and just a little bit of background information. And then from there, the second round was that was the resume round. And then it was a few short answer questions. So what is your job? How did being on Remote Year change your job? Why do you want to come on Remote Year? Sort of the pretty general background questions you would imagine when you're signing over your life to someone that they would want to know about you. And then finally, after that, there was a Skype interview, and that was maybe a half an hour interview that was really casual conversation. And that entire process took maybe 2 months. And I found out I was in, I would say, less than a week after that Skype interview. So it was a pretty quick process.
That is quick. That is quick to pick up your entire and to change your life for an entire year. That's a pretty quick process. Tell everybody about Remote Year. How did that start? Who's behind it?
So Greg Kaplan is the guy who started it, and he, you know, saw a lot of value in this digital nomad growth lifestyle that is definitely growing really, really quickly. They started with one program in 2014, and I know. So I left New York in February 2017. So that was a little less than 3 years. And the program has, I'm the ninth iteration of the program. So already in the last 3 years, they've had 9 groups of 70 people depart from the U.S. On this adventure. Mm. And now I'm not sure how many active programs they have right now, but it's a lot. I know they're launching new programs every month at this point.
Wow.
Which is incredible. But so the way it works is I and my fellow remotes, we pay sort of, I call it my rent. Like I pay rent to the program every month, and that they cover then our accommodations in each new city. They cover a workspace that's guaranteed Wi-Fi and has call rooms and just basically like a WeWork style space where you can come every day and use as your office. And then also the flights from each country. So you're responsible for getting yourself to the first country, which for me was Malaysia, and then getting yourself home from the last country when the program's over.
Wow. That's really great. That is really, really, I mean, that's really great. That sounds so cool. Now, I want to get into the adventures that you've had, the adventures that you're going to have while you're on this trip. But you are also, obviously, as you mentioned, you're a freelancer, you're a writer, and you've written for many publications and websites and stuff. And one of our favorite websites here at the show, we get a lot of material from Mental Floss, which is just one of my favorite magazines, one of my favorite websites. And obviously, we're speaking to you live right now, Zoe, and obviously it's 9:40 where you are a.m., but it's 2:40 here in the morning. You wrote a piece about surviving the graveyard shift and the day after for Mental Floss with 10 tips on how to survive that. Now, when did you work the overnight, Zoe?
So I'm still working the overnight. It's a little bit crazy because this was not the plan when I came on this program. Like I mentioned, I'm a freelancer. So when I was living in New York, I made all of my own hours and I was totally free to sort of work when I wanted and play when I wanted. But a few weeks after I arrived in Asia, I had an opportunity that would involve me working shifts 2 nights a week. So when I was in Asia, I was working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. two nights a week.
Okay.
And yeah, it was, and I'm not a night owl by any means. It was obviously a huge adjustment. But now that I'm in Europe, the hours are a bit better. It's 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. So it's a little bit better, but yeah. Still late nights.
Well, tell me about the tips that you gave, because it's a good piece, and it obviously is applicable to my listeners and to us, because this is what we do. This is our work time right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's you definitely do get used to it. So I think for me, it was a lot about, number one, trying to keep as much of a routine as possible. I think my situation was a little bit unique because I wasn't doing it 5 nights a week or 7 nights a week. It was 2 nights a week. Yeah. And I found that adjustment very challenging. But I know for people who, you know, had a bit more structure, that was something that they really relied on, was going to bed pretty much at the same time after their shift was over. And then, you know, waking up, whether it be at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., going to the gym and sort of keeping as much of a normal routine or what they could expect of a routine as possible. But I think really the most important thing is listening to your body throughout the process. If your body is telling you, like, you need to sleep more, if you're used to getting up at 6 p.m. or used to taking a nap at whatever time during the day and your body just needs more than that on any given day for any given reason, you have to listen, because otherwise you're not going to make it through the night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it is harder. You know, Zoe, years ago, I worked at a grocery store chain here in Chicago, and I worked the overnight shift, but I only worked it 3 nights a week and worked during the day like the other 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's much harder. You know what I mean? It's much, much harder to get a routine going. Now that this is full time and this is what I do all week, I definitely have an absolute routine, and it's much easier now than it was when I was doing it either part-time, you know, but it's much easier when you do it 5 times a week as opposed to 2 or 3.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that was really hard for me, but a tip that I received, was trying to limit caffeine, because that's another huge thing. Like, another problem I encountered was that when my shift was over at 7 a.m., I drank so much coffee that I then couldn't sleep, and I'd be wired and bouncing off the walls and would then be up until 10 a.m. for no reason and then would have other work. It just became a disaster. So I really tried to limit sort of when I was drinking coffee throughout the night. And Red Bull. Red Bull is very big. You have not experienced Red Bull until you've had it in Thailand, because that'll keep you up for
I cut caffeine completely. I still don't do caffeine, and I haven't done it for many years, and that seems to have helped quite a bit as well. Listen, Zoe, hang on, okay?
Okay,
this is Zoe Weiner. She is a journalist who is traveling with a program called Remote Year, when she's going to spend all of 2017 in a different country each month throughout the year. And we're going to talk about her adventures thus far and what she's looking forward to. And she's jotting it all down and blogging it all down and writing some great stuff on letsjustzoe.com. That's Z-O, letsjustzoe.com. More with her right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude here till 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about the things that are going to make you feel old, because we've got 40 songs that turn 40 this year. And we're going to talk about some movies that turn 40 this year and some other things that turn 40. So we're going to reminisce a little bit and just basically feel old. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. And that number is where you text in your request for Wildcard Wednesday. You program it, any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. My guest right now is Zoe Weiner. She is a journalist who is traveling around the world in a program called Remote Year, and she's spending 1 month in a different country throughout all of 2017, and she's blogging about it on letsjustzoe.com. That's Z-O, letsjustzoe.com. And we welcome Zoe back to the show. By the way, she's in Serbia right now. Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
Hey. All right, well, let's talk about it. First of all, how were the countries chosen? And how was this decided on?
So the countries, I received a list basically from Remote Year of our itinerary that was already set. So they picked the countries for me. But and the itinerary, as I mentioned, there are a bunch of different programs going on at the moment. I'm in the 9th iteration, but there's new programs launching every month. And I spent 4 months in Asia. I'm in Europe for 4 months, and then I'm in South America for 4 months. So I have a nice sort of split around the world.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that the itinerary that you have, you're going to have at least a decent shot at some good weather for the times of year that you're going to be there.
We are chasing summer. We got very lucky. I don't think I'll see a below 65 degree moment until I get back to New York next February.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty. You got a great itinerary. I'm looking at it right now. Well, it started in February. You had to make your way to Malaysia. Tell me about what it was like to spend time in Asia.
So I loved being in Asia. It was obviously the farthest from home that I was going to be, and it was actually really great to start with what I imagined was going to be the biggest culture shock. And I was, you know, a little bit nervous about the culture shock, and I definitely knew that it was going to be different than what I was used to, but I fell in love with living in Asia so, so quickly, even more so than I expected. I mean, everything from the people to the food to, you know, the architecture there is so beautiful. There, you walk down the street, there's just temples, like ancient temples, pretty much depending on the city, but everywhere. And it was so cool and definitely different than what I was used to. But, you know, I fell in love.
Mm. And now let me ask you, there's a total of, is it 70 people in the group who are traveling?
We started, I think, with 68. There have been a few that have come in and out. And I think currently we're traveling maybe with 57 or 58.
So
we're hovering around 60.
Do you guys do things as a group? Do you travel? Do you spend time alone? How does that work out?
We do a lot as a group. What's great about Remote Year, and which is something that I didn't necessarily expect coming in the program, is that they plan so many group activities. You know, I kind of expected that I was going to get to these countries and put my head down and work for a lot of it. But there is a great mentality of work hard, play hard, and Remote Year as a company plans these great cultural excursions that we can then embark on as a group. So like temple tours, food tours, wine tours, things like that. And it's wonderful.
That's great. And obviously you guys are really, this is going to be, you know, what's amazing about this is that for the rest of your life, you and those people are going to be bonded by this experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like summer camp basically, but for grownups and in very faraway places, you can't take away that bond for sure. We've experienced a lot together.
I have to ask you so far about the food. In Asia, obviously, there's a difference between Vietnamese food, Cambodian food, and Thai food. And it's probably, you know, the kind of Vietnamese food and the kind of Thai food and Cambodian food we get here in America is probably vastly different than what you got. What has the food been like in the first part of the trip in Asia?
Oh, my gosh, the food and I mean, all of the food I loved. I thought that I would get sick of eating you know, Asian noodles after 4 months.
Right.
But no, because, I mean, there's so many different variations. I love noodles. Like, I'm a big pasta eater in general, and I have a big Asian food eater in general. But, you know, there's so many different variations, and the flavors are so different in each country. But the food in Vietnam, the pho and the banh mi, which are the sandwiches, it was just, I dream about that still.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Vietnam, but I love pho, and I love the sandwiches. I just, it's just, gotta imagine, it's probably amazing over there.
It's, and you eat it, they're just out of these, like, hole-in-the-wall restaurants, basically, where they have plastic stools sort of set out at front. My mom came to visit me in Vietnam, and I brought her to one of these restaurants that was known for the best banh mi, and it was just a woman with a cart and two little plastic stools. And my mom was not, it's not what she was expecting when she heard best food in Vietnam. And she was a little horrified, but she sat down after some coercion, and she loved it. And she still talks about the banh mi. So
that's amazing. That's great. Yeah. Now, you got to tell me about how you caught a catfish with your bare hands. Talk a little bit about that. So
one of those sort of remote year excursions that I mentioned was a tour down the Mekong Delta. And the way that it was sort of marketed to us when we were signing up for this tour was a riverboat tour. So I expected, you know, to hang out on a boat all day. But about an hour into our little boat ride, we pulled over and they handed us these traditional fishing outfits, which were like cotton pants and a shirt, and told us that we were going to be getting in the mud and catching our lunch on the Mekong Delta, which meant we were going to be crawling through the mud and catching catfish with our hands, which I guess I didn't know that's how you catch a catfish. Go figure. So I was definitely hesitant about it. And as I was trying to get into the mud, I slipped and I fell face first. And I was hesitating getting in, and I just tumbled, covered in mud, hair, face, everything.
Yeah.
And at that point, I kind of was committed. I was like, well, I'm already dirty. So I got in and I dug my hands in and I caught a catfish.
You got a catfish. and then you ate said catfish.
Yeah, well, they cooked it and other people ate it, but I felt bad. I don't know. I was like, I caught that. I couldn't bring myself to eat it, but other people enjoyed the fruits of my labor.
There you go.
The fish of my labor.
All right. So you're currently in Serbia. You've been in Serbia now for like a couple of 3 weeks, and you're going through Europe after Serbia, Portugal, and then the Czech Republic and Bulgaria. What are you looking forward to on this leg?
You know, Serbia has definitely surprised me. I was really excited to get to Europe, sad to leave Asia, but I haven't traveled at all really in Eastern Europe. And coming to Serbia, you know, I had some assumptions, I had some expectations, and the country has just exceeded all of that. It's beautiful here, the history, the culture, everything. And so I'm really excited after this to spend more time in Eastern Europe, going through Prague and Bulgaria, and hopefully exploring a bit more on this side of Europe that I haven't really spent any time in.
Yeah. And then you close it out. The final leg is in South America, Argentina, Chile, and Peru. Have you ever been to South America before?
I haven't.
So that's going to be fun for you then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm assuming this is sort of a life-changing event for you, Zoe. And I was reading a little bit about your first 100 days of travel, and I want to ask you, how have you changed so far? And it seems to me, that from what I've read about you, that you're not going to be able to just go back to New York. That's
yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that I've been bitten by this travel bug, and I think it's going to be really hard to go back to being in a traditional sort of work lifestyle. You know, I think that's been the biggest change. I just actually went on my first solo trip. I was in Croatia for a few days last week, and that for me made me really like, I can do this. Like, I can sort of drop everything. I can go places by myself. I can travel. I can work. And it's been a really fantastic growing experience in terms of all of that.
That's really great. You having fun writing about it too, Zoe?
Of course. I'm really lucky to be able to get to share my experiences with Mental Floss and on my blog. And, you know, it's great to be able to hopefully inspire people to try and do the same thing, or if not, let them at least see what I'm experiencing.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're doing this, you know, and it's going to make you such a different person as well. And letsjustzo.com. That's Let's Just Zoe. Not only do you write about it, but you post a bunch of really wonderful pictures. You're capturing this experience really well on your blog, and you're doing a great job. What are your plans for today?
Today I am working.
Oh, today you're working.
It's definitely people joke. It's like they're like, it looks like you never work, but today I am in the office all day, unfortunately, which is pretty boring. But
And then what what do you guys got? You got plans for tomorrow?
Tomorrow. So normally I work pretty hardcore Monday to Thursday, and
I see.
On Friday I am road tripping to Budapest.
Oh wow!
I'm still finalizing the details. Yeah, so I cram it all in 4 days during the week, and then I can enjoy on the weekends.
Wow, way to bury the lead, Zoe. Going to Budapest
today? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, going to Budapest. Very, very nice. That's great. So you basically you do kind of have a base as traditional a work week as possible, and then you do all your fun stuff for 3 or 4 days on the weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Zoe, such a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to get an update, from another country, if that would be nice, if you would do that.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
It would
That'd
be great. Great. It was so great. Congratulations. Have so much fun on your remote year, and everybody can check out the blog on letsjustzoe.com. Zoe, real pleasure having you on the air. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, take care. There you go. Zoe Weiner, everybody. Check out her blog. It's really, really great. And her nomad lifestyle, the digital nomad lifestyle of remote ear. Really amazing stuff. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up in 14 seconds.